Yes. Okay, thank you. Well, welcome everyone. Today we would like to talk about adversary in the middle attacks. Well, phishing attacks that are able to bypass MFA. We've been investigating this for 1 year, more than 1 year. And we just want to share our lessons learned from the research we did. Well, a short introduction. My name is Wesley Nele, one of the co-founders of Zolder, a cybersecurity startup. And Rick is also one of the co-founders. And we have most experience as pen testers over 10 years. So that we've done that a lot during our career. But when we started Zolder 5 years ago, we wanted to do things different. We especially want to have more impact than just with, performing pen tests. We want to protect organizations on a scale. So therefore we are developing software, for example, our ethics security applications, which allows organizations to protect Microsoft 365 environments. We want to do it on a scale, and the cloud allows us to do that because, every cloud environment is the same. So we can, make a change, a fix, and release it to a lot of customers at once and help them to get better. And we are also doing research because it's just interesting, and we want to be on top of the new stuff and the new threats and stuff like that. And that's because we are investigating MFA and AITM attacks because it's a big problem nowadays. And an interesting fact is that we learned a lot of people to implement MFA, and almost everybody has MFA nowadays. But the attackers are now able to bypass MFA quite easily. And that's why we are investigating the AITM, researching it. Because we were surprised about the skill that these attacks are performed nowadays. And that's the problem. We learned a lot of people to implement MFA and then they are safe, but actually they are not. So now we have to go back and learn them something different or implement things different. And that's interesting. A little bit of history, short. A while ago, phishing was just getting username and password. That was, easy to do on a scale. You could just send a lot of emails, phish those details, and log in. After that, you had, for example, this is UAdmin. This is a phishing panel that is used a lot within banking fraud in the Netherlands. And in this panel, it's the victim logs in on the bank. And at the same time, the cyber criminal is behind this control panel. The victim fills in information, it gets to the criminal, he logs in at the actual bank, and then the response is sent back to the victim again. So this is a manual phishing process, which is not really efficient. You cannot do it on a scale, but it is effective. It still works and it's still being used. But the downside is, you cannot do this on a scale, just send a lot of emails and phish a lot of people to get accounts.
An interesting side note is that the moment you get phished for banking fraud, there's actually someone sitting in a hotel room or in their room guiding you through the entire authentication and sending of money, the whole process. There's actually somebody clicking, which I find funny. That's like you're chatting with someone with a different interface in between.
Yeah, even if there's a QR code on the banking website, the criminal makes a screenshot, uploads it to the phishing panel, and then it's shown to the victim. So it's really, that's the manual way to bypass MFA.
There are currently banks that refresh the QR code like every 5 to 15 seconds just to make the whole process annoying, because the criminals are like screenshotting, uploading, and then it's gone. So they need to automate, and that's where they get into trouble, because it's hard.
Yeah, but of course it's better to just be able to automate everything. In 2018, Evil Jinx was released, which allows you to do AITM attacks. We will discuss further how that actually works. But it was released already in 2018, but at that time it wasn't really a big problem yet. And we see that it's now becoming a big problem. So then you can see that it takes about 7 years before those tools are actually and techniques actually are being used and on a scale.
It was interesting because we saw the release of this tool and we were like, oh, this is nice, but nobody really uses MFA for much at that time.
No.
So it wasn't really necessary, but we did like one or two phishing assignments with Evil Jinx, and like the setup was hard. Well, it's not really hard, but it's like more annoying than spinning up like a plain simple website. So it's funny to see that people aren't using it, weren't using it. So, but nowadays people are. And what we were wondering about was why is the scale increasing now? So we've seen that the tooling was there since 2017, 2018. But now, for some reason in the past, like year and a half, this has become a real big issue. And the main reason for that is it's SaaSified now. There's different vendors, and you rent the AITM phishing panel. So you just say, like, I want a github.com AITM phishing panel. And there's somebody that says, like, oh, that's $200 a month, and I'll make sure everything works. You don't have to actually know anything. And that's the core of scalability within cybercrime. Most of them have a method for extracting money in some way. So it's either banking fraud or it's like back fraud with the whole invoice manipulation. And they just do that. But besides that, they're not really skilled. So they're not able to build like a new website or a backdoor or a specific tool. So the moment somebody comes in and is able to SaaSify it, where you can just rent something, you already see an increase. Well, obviously, there's more and more MFA, which is good. I mean, even though these attacks exist, it doesn't mean that MFA is worthless, because you could still, like, have somebody fish you the old way, and then you still get saved. And most importantly, it really works. We have insight into lots and lots of different companies, and we see that like 4 out of 5 is being targeted with these types of attacks, where some AITM vendor is performing phishing attacks of that type on them. And most of these are related to M365, which is why we noticed, because that's what we work on. And there, the whole business model is back fraud. So you phish someone, you get into their email account, and then start manipulating either communications between colleagues or communication between clients, change the bank account on an invoice, and that's how you make money. And it ain't much, but it's dishonest work. So current threats, as I mentioned before, M365, because of the whole banking thing, or back fraud thing, makes this really, really scalable. And there's been lots and lots of articles on it. But what we did is I don't know if you guys are familiar with URL scan. You can do a Shodan Safari, but on URL scan. So where Shodan port scans the internet and you find like devices, URL scan gets all kinds of phishing sites. And the moment you know like one characteristic of a phishing site, you can then search for that. And then you pivot off of new characteristics, and then you find out all the different phishing sites. So this is like one type. And you can see like it's 60 minutes, 26 minutes, 2 hours, 2 hours. They're spinning up new sites constantly, not because they're really enjoying it, but because, one, they're getting like bad linked, the whole red page safe links type deal. And two, there's lots and lots of takers. There's quite some interest in buying these services. And later on, we'll show you, at least for one threat actor, what he has made in the past, like year and a half, 2 years, and it's more than me, you know, which sucks. Another great example of employing AATM to actually make money, because the technique is cool, but as criminals, we're here to make some money, is the booking.com scam. It's like every 6 to 9 months you get like an article with some journalist being outraged that this is happening. And the scam is quite simple. It's like hotel owners are getting hacked. The booking.com hotel account is being used to find out who has booked the hotel recently. And either via the booking.com app or via WhatsApp, the victims or hotel guests are getting a message stating like, hey, thanks for booking with us. In order to confirm your booking, we need to either like pay some tax or something else. And then it gets really boring. But the front part is pretty cool because initially I was under the impression that they were using Steelers to get into all these booking.com accounts. But they're actually spinning up at scale. They're spinning up like all these inquiry, booking issue type sites. And they're sending these to the hotel owners. And they have like quite a challenge because you can imagine that Van de Valk or this hotel, they have multiple employees. There's not like one dude that's the booking.com dude that confirms. So there's multiple people with the account info. There's quite a broad range of people you can target to get in. I did some more booking.com. And we were lucky, actually, because our colleague Eric booked a hotel in Paris, I feel. And Eric actually got, or at least Eric's hotel got owned. And then Eric got these WhatsApp messages, which he sent through to us. Because we were really wondering, we saw the phishing against like the hotel owners, but how does it translate into an actual like attack? And then you can see like they automate the process. So they extract all the bookings, they extract all the people, they extract the pricing. So they send you like a text to like a weird page. And then when you hit the actual phishing page, the price is correct, the location is correct. So they automate all of this. So this makes for really scalable phishing. It's similar to the old days where you could just like fish 1,000 users and go to bed, and the next day you try all the usernames and passwords. But with MFA, that scalability went away. We had to like carry over everything manually, and now with AATM, we can rescale these types of attacks. And how, even though this whole process is pretty cool from a technical perspective, it ends really boring. It's just credit card phishing, which is too bad. I would have liked it to be a bit more cool than this. But can't have everything.
Yeah, there are different implementations available, but first let's discuss how it works. It's pretty easy. I created this image. The victim request is forwarded to Microsoft. This is the AATM worker, so this is the AATM phishing website. If the victim visits the website, the request is forwarded to Microsoft, and the response is forwarded back to the victim. And just some information is changed, for example, some URLs in the HTML, and the cookies are, for example, being captured during this process. And we have created our own Cloudflare worker. That's also because we found that people were using Cloudflare workers, which is a serverless functionality within Cloudflare. We didn't have the code, but we wanted to know how that framework was doing what it was doing. So we decided to create it ourselves to just, let's see how hard is it to build this. And it was pretty easy. It was just forwarding all the requests, replacing some links in the HTML. The Microsoft online links had to be replaced with your own phishing website, getting the cookies out of it, and that's what it. So the concept is really simple. Of course, there are also other frameworks available. Evil Jinx we mentioned in 2018 already. There has been a VNC implementation, which was also pretty cool. It just spinned a VNC within a browser, which was, a browser on Microsoft Online, for example. And we found some other implementations, for example, one in PHP, which is used by, also as a SaaS service.
What I found funny was with VNC in the browser, it's literally somebody allowing you to log in on their PC, and then the moment you log in, they just do like close the session. So it's like handing somebody a laptop, saying like, "Could you please log in for me?" Which is just funny.
By the way, the Cloudflare worker code, which is about 170 lines, is available on GitHub, so you can just download it, copy the script, put it on Cloudflare, and you have your own AATM phishing website for Microsoft.
You can become part of the problem too.
Here's a video of that Cloudflare worker in action. Then you can see how the victim experiences. just the MFA prompt.
Everything is just forwarded.
Yeah.
And the moment auth is successful,
we send the credentials to Teams, so the username, password that's being captured, and the cookie. So you can just use that cookie in your own browser, and you captured the session. Here we put it in our own browser. By the way, Rick built a cool spin-off which steals refresh tokens, which is a little bit better than just cookies. Which is also online, yes.
Yes, more problems.
We created our own detection system, so we have a lot of insights into what kind of phishing sites are being spinned. And we see different implementations. For example, we see some have a half implementation that do not load CSS, for example, but they do load the background image and the company logo. So you see different implementations. Some of them forward everything. Some of them just drop everything that's unnecessary. Also, to prevent detection, which is pretty good, is also Cloudflare again. The Cloudflare turnstile, if you put it in front of your phishing site, which can be completely automated, it's like a CAPTCHA, but without your own interaction. So you don't have to do anything. It just checks, are you a robot? It's just showing, it's verifying, and then you can just continue to the phishing website. And this is a great way to block sandboxes and other automated processes. I'm running my own Cloudflare worker, and I also put this in front of it, and it's just fine. It's just online, and no worries.
We put it up for clients to like test their detection or test how it works. So the worker doesn't just sit there. It's actually phished quite a lot of different companies and people, and it doesn't get detected just because like Cloudflare is helping you. And currently, it's so bad that the moment I see this, I'm assuming the next thing that's coming up is like a phishing site. Because most of them are employing this to not get detected, which lowers costs because you don't have to register new domains. You don't have to like spin up new VPSs, stuff like that. So there's also people doing this. We did some research. We bought some access to different panels. And the thing is, it's so popular now that there's actually... We need to go back and buy some more access from different parties to figure out some more stuff. But there's been quite an explosion of different vendors because of the popularity of it. And currently you're seeing a switch as well from just SaaS to people offering like a phishing panel. And the problem with selling like the source code instead of a SaaS abonnement in Engels?
Subscription.
Thank you very much. The whole thing of selling SaaS subscriptions is that you never get access to the actual code. So when the subscription ends, it's done. The thing with selling panels, and we've seen this in the Dutch scene as well, where banking phishing panels are being sold for like 150. And then I sell you the panel, and then you're like, I need to recoup some of this cost. So then you do Control H, and now it's like my panel, and you sell it for 100. And then the next, and the next, and the next, which is a race to the bottom. And in the end, it's free for everyone. And the same is going to happen with these types of tools, where the SaaS business has some more like polish and all the other stuff. But all the standard panels are going to get very cheap, very fast. So we actually contacted the people behind, as example, the Tycoon Raccoon people, which in my best cyber criminals, I sent them like a message. Bro, I'd like to buy access. Too much fails with 2FA nowadays. Need strong service. Strong. Can I please buy access? Which they respond to with like pricing and a Bitcoin and a USDT address. And then buy access. And later on, they switched from being Tycoon to Raccoon. Because of a branding issue, and now they have like a more polished service. They're doing like weekly to monthly updates of the new features that are being embedded. Wesley mentioned phishing for refresh tokens. They did their own similar trick where their now offering the ability to exchange the cookie you fish for a refresh token. So then you have a cookie for browsing and a refresh token for accessing things like MS Graph or OneDrive or stuff like that, which is pretty fancy, which yeah, pretty nice that they're working on this. So what does such a panel look like? It's not much, actually. It's like a very simple thing. There's not much you can edit. There's not much you can manage. They give you the link. They even give you like an open redirect, I think, in Bing.com. So if you send like a link and they give you instructions how to embed that in QR code, so most of the spam tools don't like filter it. And then you're there, just there collecting cookies, making sure that once you have access, you can keep access. So you have to do the persistence. But there are some vendors that actually also provide either persistence or a constant usage of the cookie or tokens to make sure they don't expire. It really depends on the type of vendor you get. Funny thing about Tycoon is actually that they always sign in from with a user agent of Linux on one app ID, and it's pretty easy to detect, but nobody actually looks at it. But this is just one vendor, and all the other vendors have different methods, and some of them actually copy the user agent of the victim, which is way nicer because then it's like more clean, and some switch out the app IDs. And as I've mentioned before, we wanted to share what does someone make. Well, this morning I refreshed the wallets of the tycoon person. And as you can see, the top wallet is like 500K, three something, and then two something. So all in all, it's like, depending on the Bitcoin price, it's like 1.2 million in like 2 years, which is pretty decent. Funny thing is, the Bitcoin is like sent to a mixer, and there's all kinds of hard stuff happening. The USDT, however, is being sent to Binance, which I feel if he's stupid enough to use his own like Binance account, it's pretty easy to find this person. So for anyone who's in law enforcement, have fun. Another popular vendor, Evil Proxy. This person has a bit of a broader offering where Tycoon focuses on like M365, the back fraud thing. This one has like Ruby Gems, Pipey, npm.js. So it's more, you can also use it for if you're into like supply chain attacks, you can use it for that. Or if you really want to get in somebody's iCloud account, I wouldn't know why, but hey, you can buy the different services they offer. This person has been doing this since 2022. And this morning I checked, like, is he still at it? And he's still like offering the same service. It's the same forum thread even of back then, which is cool. This one is more funny than actually Evil. This is like someone that was under the impression that even the whole communication about pricing, it should be scaled away. So this person has like a Telegram bot where you can just say like, hey, start. And then it says like, oh, you need to pay X amount into this wallet, and it automatically verifies if that's paid. And when it's paid, it automatically gives you like a binary, and the binary is used to spin up like a whole system. I feel the moment you get the binary, you can just spin up anything. But I haven't like actually looked at the binary. But it's funny because he has like a whole like installation manual. You have to run the app. Yes, deploy all the things, but I find it interesting that somebody even took the time of like the whole like Telegram chat was too much work, so I'm going to make a bot to handle the chat, and then the SaaS ATM to handle like the money, and I only have to like count the Bitcoin, I guess.
Yeah, and of course the most important, how can we prevent and detect this? Sorry. Well, prevention on Microsoft 365 is easy because you can use passkeys or you can enforce device compliance within your environment. But the downside is that, for example, I'm now using passkeys myself. It doesn't work really well yet. I have enforced passkeys for myself, and I wanted to join a new computer to my Microsoft 365 environment, and I wasn't able to. I was just getting errors. Stuff went wrong, errors. So it's not really, well, it isn't there yet to enroll within your organization on a skill. And that's an issue. So in the time being, we need, well, other solutions. One of those other solutions is, for example, enforcing device compliancy. Because if you have only device compliance within your network, the phishing site isn't compliant. So that sign-in will be blocked. So that's also a solution, but also not really easy to implement. That depends on the organization. It requires some licenses if you want to use both. So that's also a downside. So hopefully in the future we will all have phishing-resistant MFA, but I think that's going to take a long time. Like I mentioned, we are developing our own tools. We want to detect and we want to prevent these kind of attacks. And therefore we developed this from Clomi, which is a solution that allows you to detect if a website is being cloned. That's the original idea. And the concept is pretty simple because we put a pixel in the website, in a real website, and whenever a fake website loads that pixel, then an alert triggers, so you know that your website is copied. And on one day, my colleague Eric said, can we also implement this on Microsoft T365 because they have company branding settings? So I was like, I'm not sure if this is going to work, but if it is going to work, it's really interesting because we can add it to a lot of tenants and then we get insights into where the phishing sites are located. So immediately we tried that and yes, the answer was yes, it was possible. We were able to add CSS to a Microsoft tenant, and if that CSS is being loaded from a non-Microsoft online domain, then the detection is being triggered. In this example, this is the domain. We know where the website is. That's most of the information we have, the time, where the website is, and the victim IP address. We don't know the username because it's just the pixel that's being loaded.
We actually tried using CSS to exfil what somebody typed into the username field, but Microsoft doesn't like that. Yeah, it makes sense.
We released this this detection method, so we shared it online in the blog, and the cool thing is that a lot of people within the community also took the technique and used it to protect our customers. Some people even upgraded the technique. iSecurity and SIP had a cool idea because we are working within CSS, we can also do things within the login prompt of Microsoft Online. So then here in this video you will see that we can also show a warning. And that's pretty cool because now we can also prevent if a victim logs in on a fake Microsoft page. Well, and hopefully nobody logs in on this page.
We've had one, actually. We've had one person saying, like, the login page is really weird. It was hard to log in, but I did it. It worked.
Just to add, I'm from I.
Oh, hi.
And you guys did great work. And we do this for...
Do you want a microphone?
...customers. And trust me, people are ignoring this.
Yeah, we've had one ignore, but you've had more?
Yeah.
Could you please repeat the question?
Oh, I can repeat.
Also, I have a pro box if you do one of your Q&A.
Well, okay, cool. To repeat the mention, this person is from I. They improved upon our work where they did the warning thing. So we directly stole that back because it's great. It's really good. It works really well. And they also had incidents where users were just ignoring like the really big red, like, don't, please don't log in. Oh, God, don't. And then they still did, which is interesting. Phishing-resistant MFA would have saved you here, but it's harder.
Yeah, because the downside is that the CSS of Microsoft is pretty limited, so you're not able to, disable the sign-in button or the input in the sign-in box. So you're limited to the, CSS of Microsoft. So this is the best thing we can do. Just warn them.
Please don't.
So we are also running this for a lot of customers. Nowadays we're running it for maybe 500 tenants.
Something like that, yeah.
Because people can sign up at DidSomeoneClone.me, just get the link, add the link to the website, and then, you're protected. First we expected that this wasn't a really big problem yet. But when we were able to get insights to the detections, we saw that it was quite a big issue. In the first month, well, at that time we were protecting like 100 tenants. And within that same month, we had like 162 ATM detections attempts. That's pretty much, in my opinion. And after 9 months, we had 350 tenants and 1,300 detections. So then you can see that it's really performed on a scale, automated, and a lot of people are being targeted. And the fun thing is, well, because of all those tenants that we protect, we have also insights into the data. For example, you can see here, this is a screenshot of the database, where you can also see these are different customers, where the same detection occurs. So the same ATM website is being triggered at 6 clients at the same time. So then you can, and even only with 400 tenants, you already see this behavior. So then you can imagine the scale that these, well, emails are being sent. And we see that often, multiple times. Well, of course, when you introduce a technique like this, it's like, okay, is this going to work? Because maybe there are a lot of false positives when using this technique. But luckily, that's not the case. There are a few domains that you have to, well, whitelist. For example, login.microsoft.com, because that's used for the passkeys. Office.com. It are about 8 domains, and if you whitelist those, then all the other alerts are valid. So that's also cool. It's really reliable. That just works.
Really, the only issue we've had is where people are unable to verify which device visited the URL. And because we're only able to tell you, like, at this time, someone within your organization visited this URL, which is bad. And then if you don't have, like some EDR or some proxy log, then it's hard to, like, figure out.
Yeah. Because you have to check it in the sign-in logs, who logged in at that time, if somebody logged in, stuff like that. So that's the downside. We cannot tell who was logging in at that time. We also tried to do that using the CSS, but we were too limited again. This was also cool because, we had a lot of detections were coming in. I was looking into the database and I was like, there are a lot of 40 IP addresses. What's going on here? And when doing some research, we found out that these are Microsoft IP addresses. Microsoft sandboxes are visiting all the links. For example, if you post a link in Teams or in an email, Microsoft sandboxes are visiting the link to check if it's a phishing website. But that also triggers our detection. But that was interesting because we get a lot of detections because the sandboxes of Microsoft are visiting those phishing websites. But we had to filter this out because I don't want to warn a user, a customer, when just the Microsoft sandbox visits the URL. We also found a way to filter this out, and you only get an alert whenever a real employee visits the phishing site. So, like mentioned, we published all the details on how you can also just read the blog and implement it yourself. The downside is, I think this is Tycoon, now Raccoon.
I think it was that one.
They implemented a solution to just, block our detection. So they just filter it out so the detection doesn't work. Of course, we build a bypass for this again, but it's like, that keeps going on, of course. By the way, also good to know that I told you that some of the phishing panels have a half implementation. They just drop the CSS. Then the detection, of course, doesn't work, and the warning also doesn't work. That's also a downside, but yeah. Here's an example of a pretty cool detection. Some organization was attacked with DevOps Azure.nl, which is like, okay, this is pretty scary because it's targeted on DevOps with interesting pipelines, maybe. And it's also, sometimes you can see that's quite targeted as well, those attacks.
Yeah, most are like very generic, random name domains, and then some of them are more fancy like this.
Yeah, even company related sometimes.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Extra cool. Cool. So to wrap up, something about the actual future. We've actually seen an increase in the offering of new phishing panels and SaaS providers. We've also seen branching out where currently, because of the relatively high price of the SaaS service, like $200, $300 a month, most of it is really focused. So it's either like booking.com because you can extract money, or it's back fraud because you know how to extract money. But now you're already seeing it. This was a live.com. We were just playing around, and we could see like somebody phishing live.com with a similar service, which at least to me indicates that the cost of this attack is going down. Because, you know, maybe it's my limited vision, but I don't see how to use live.com accounts to like generate money, or at least like a decent amount of money. But hey, maybe I'm just not.
For a marketplace or something. So.
I don't know. I don't get it. But we've seen a switch to like more like home use type attacks. We've also seen like a push for more generic proxies, where the proxy now, the one Wesley built, is like very much Microsoft focused. And if you try to ITM something else with it, it doesn't really work. And for Evil Jinx, you need like fishlets that are configured for the site you're trying to fish. So that requires some like technical knowledge, which annoys most of these criminals. So they're really asking for more generic proxies that just proxy anything, and they can just like select what it is they want from it, which will allow them to scale even further. And we've been yelling this for like a year now, so maybe we are wrong, but we really feel that this has great potential for bank fraud, where currently it's like, okay, you take a picture of the QR code, send it back to the victim, and you some TON code or some random reader interaction. This is probably mostly automatable from like a criminal perspective, which would allow them to do this at a way larger scale, or like do more victims at the same time. But it does require someone with some like more technical knowledge, where most of the people that are actually performing these types of attacks don't have it. But there's always going to be one guy who's like, I can make money. He or she will build it. So in conclusion, I used to say it's going to be shit for a while. I'm currently saying it's getting better, but... regular users are going to get targeted, which is pretty bad because they don't have like MFA or some like CISO annoying them that they should have MFA or even enforcing it. It's going to be companies will need to switch, and passkeys are great on anything else but Microsoft for some reason. They built their own thing. It only works in authenticator app. If you use GitHub or Gmail, you can just use like any random passkey-enabled password manager, which is good. Microsoft decided to do something else, which makes it harder because there needs to be a Bluetooth connection between you and the laptop, and then there's some lag, and it's annoying, or you have to scan like a QR code.
Connection fails, stuff like that, yeah.
So that's going to take some while. And we've also seen a lot of instances where passkeys are offered but not enforced after registration, which makes makes the point kind of moot. There's been some attacks where they just the proxy filters out anything related to passkeys, so the whole website defaults back to username, password, and second factor. So if the user fills it in, you can still phish them even though they had phishing resistant MFA. If you run a website or an app, consider enforcing passkeys after the user registers it. I understand it can be hard for like account recovery and stuff like that. I don't have an answer for that. Cool. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our talk. If any of you wants to implement this yourself, check out our blogs on building this, or you can use it for free at disemoclomy or at atticsecurity.com, and you can use our service. However, we will know when you get AATM'd, and we will count you. We won't expose you, but we will count that you were a victim once, because numbers are cool in presentations. So, thank you very much. Does anyone else have any questions or remarks? Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.